This is Stephen Strang. For more than four decades, I've covered what God is doing in the world, and sometimes it seems that things are getting harder and harder for the spread of the gospel, and when we hear stories about revival happening, it catches my attention. And today on The Strang Report, I'm interviewing a woman from Great Britain, Shanine Clark, who ministers all over Europe, most recently in Italy, and exciting things are happening. You're going to hear about what God is doing through this amazing ministry in this telephone interview that I did recently with Shanine Clark from London, England. Stay tuned.
Welcome to The Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview.
Shanine Clark, I appreciate you being on my podcast today, and I have been familiar with your ministry, mostly known in Europe, and I'd like to bring my mostly American listeners up to date on what God is doing in Europe. So I appreciate you sharing with us today, and I know that many years ago you went to Finland and Sweden, and something exciting happened. Can you tell me and my listeners what it was, and then I want to talk about what's happened since then.
Well, yes, it's a very exciting time in Europe. Of course, we've got all the Brexit going on, but there's no Brexit when it comes to God, which is wonderful. Yes, I've traveled across Europe, and I've seen a great hunger, particularly in Italy. And my recent trips this year has been in Turin, in Sicily, which is the southern part, in Milan and Rome and Verona. And of course, you know, I've spoken at Congress in government there. And what I'm seeing is a real hunger. Now, I have traveled across the world to unusual nations such as Ethiopia as well, and I've seen great hunger there. But what I'm seeing in Italy is very unique. It's a hunger that's beyond what I'm seeing in other nations. And the hunger is actually coming from the leadership, and they are just seeking more. And the evidence of this is really the meetings. People are rushing to the meetings. They're hungry to see revival and more. We're witnessing Catholic priests. I mean, they come with their collar on and stand there for a fresh encounter with the Holy Spirit. And, you know, we're just seeing miracles. Many people were healed. The recent meeting in Turin was powerful. We witnessed the glory of God in the meetings where we really couldn't do anything. We just sat in the glory for hours and just worshipped. And those of you that are listening that understand the difference between the glory and the anointing you often have to work it, but the glory is something where God isn't at work and he's moving in the meeting. That was remarkable. We also had some journalists come over and capture some of what is going on. My testimony went in the national newspapers. It's called Libriano, which is one of the mainstream newspapers. And they just wanted to interview me on my story and my background, which was wonderful. And then, of course, government opened up, and that's powerful. I spoke on femicide, which is a very big issue in Italy in particular, where women are killing women and men are killing women. And this is an epidemic in the nation. So one of the parliamentary congressmen asked me to come and speak, and I went along with a pastor and his wife, and we addressed the issue of justice. So that was wonderful. Now, revival is, you know, used so often in the church, and we use it so lightly often. Everyone talks about it. But the main focus of what is happening in revival is that they are preaching revival. They are praying for revival. And revival often comes through, you know, a spiritual cleansing and a spiritual hunger. And that's what we're witnessing there. Now, you know, what's the difference between revival and a spiritual awakening? Because people say, oh, this is an awakening that's happening in Europe right now. But really, revival is something that was dead that comes alive. So Christians, you know, their love gets cold and you revive the church through that. And when the church is revived, you experience a spiritual awakening. And spiritual awakening really is for the lost when people come to Christ. And that is very powerful. But how does this all happen? You know, how do we break this sort of fellow ground? And it comes with recognition and repentance. And this is what we were experiencing in Italy, the desperation to move away from the replacements that we're seeing in churches, you know, of pragmatic minds and systems and looking at the natural therapeutics or from massage messages and systems, moving away from that, but coming to that place of really seeking God in a very critical time in Italy, because there's a lot of persecution in Europe right now for political correctness, advertising, just the gender crisis that we have right now. And that was very evident in Italy. You know, the last trip I was at, I had a lesbian speaker, a very well-known TV presenter who interviews all the politicians in Italy, well-established in her career, I know, over 20 years. And she was one of the speakers, and she actually spoke, and she said Jesus visited her in her home. And she said, no one preached to me. And she said, one night I went home, and I was seeking more to life, and suddenly Jesus appeared to me. So she spoke about that in Turin, and her story went right across the papers of Italy, and everyone's talking about gender right now. So her story was very appealing to the younger generation.
Well, let me jump in here because I have interviewed hundreds of people and you're one of the easiest. I ask you one question and you just take off. But you have brought up...
Oh, God. That's unusual for a Brit.
But you have mentioned so many different things that I want to drill down and cover.
Sure.
And you mentioned the newspapers covering your story. And most of my listeners aren't that familiar with Shanine Martin or the ministry that you have. And I know you and your husband, Martin, as friends. And so I know you. In fact, I did a podcast with you some months ago. In fact, when I do the newsletter, we'll include the link to that so people who want to can listen to it or they can go on the Charisma Podcast Network. But tell us a little bit about your story, especially as you related to it being covered in the newspaper.
I think my story, I was born and raised in London, and so I'm a Londoner. I lived in London most of all my life, really, of Indian origin. So my parents are from the northwest of India. They're Punjabis. They came here in the 50s, and I was raised with a lot of restrictions culturally. And my father was very afraid that I'd become very westernized, marrying an Englishman. And with the Indians, it's very important to keep faith and keep the family name. I was engaged at the age of 14 until I met Christ, and that I was eradicated from my life. I no longer needed to be engaged to this guy. And then I got married at the age of 17. My father really pushed and encouraged me to get married because he was afraid that I may just become this rebellious teenager and lose the family name and go off, because I said to my father when I got saved that I want to become an evangelist and I want to go to Bible college in America. And he was very concerned, and he said, oh, well, you need to get married and then do it. So I had a first year, quite an abusive relationship in the first year. And of course, abuse is very an epidemic in Italy amongst women. So they could relate to that. And I shared my abusive side of, you know, it only lasted a year. But and then, of course, I got divorced in my 20s. Was sad, and I am during those years in my early 20s, I was a youth pastor in London, and I was very blessed because my pastor was a Scottish man who worked with Catherine Coleman, and he often talked about this incredible woman. And as a teenager, I'm listening to these amazing stories of his experience in America, and he said this woman was divorced, she was weird, she was strange, but God's hand was upon her. And he described her meetings as being very tangible, that it was like goosebumps. People used to just stand in awe in the presence of God. And so I was captivated by that. And of course, he gave me a book called Daughter of Destiny. And I read that when I was about 14, I think, for a couple of years. And I thought, wow, this girl is broken. She's divorced. If God can use a broken, strange, unusual woman like Catherine, God, count me in. So my first sermon was at the age of 16, called Dare to be Great, in an Assemblies of God church in London, where was Smith Wigglesworth that she spoke once. And my pastor released me at a very young age, so I was preaching quite young. So the ministry was always there in my life, and the call of God was very evident very early in my life, because my mother was healed from arthritis. My nephew was healed from quite a chronic skin disease. And then my uncle, who was in a wheelchair for 17 years, and suddenly stood up and started to walk in our little tiny church in London. So very early in my life, I was very exposed to the supernatural power of God. When I got divorced, it was very sad, and I kind of ran away from the church because they were quite judgmental, and divorce is quite a taboo in that time. And I just hid in a church in London and away from everyone, but I didn't run from God, I just ran from his people, because they can be very judgmental. And it took TV, actually, to bring me back to the call of God. And then one night, I heard a voice say, put the TV on. And I thought, this is crazy. I normally get told to switch it off, you know. The voice three or four times said, put the TV on. And as I put the TV on, it was God TV. And a man called Steve Hill came on. And he sort of looked into the TV screen and he said, there's a woman in London right now. You're running away from the call of God and you're divorced. And God is calling you back. And he was crying. And he said, I'm speaking to you now. And as he spoke, suddenly, see, there was this incredible presence of God that entered into the room. And I just wept for about a couple of hours. And I cried and cried. And I sort of repented for not obeying God's call. And from that moment, I had a turnaround. And then within a week, I was in Parliament in England, which is, you know, Congress to the Americans. And there was a special prayer meeting. And there was a lady who had a strong prophetic gift. And she was praying for Parliament and people. She was praying for several people. And I was sitting on the main table with some MPs. And she was calling people up. And I said, God, you know, I do a deal with you. Don't call me up publicly here. If you've got something to say, say it to me privately. And then suddenly she called me and she then prayed for me and prophesied how God was going to use me in the future. And I'm seeing, you know, the evidence of that prophetic word. So my life turned around, and the story in the papers was really about my background of abuse, being engaged under limitations, and coming out and writing my book called Dare to Be Great, and that was the title of my first sermon. So today I am doing what I'm doing because of the call of God and being obedient, having overcome several limitations culturally, and dealing with the church on the divorce issue. I feel I've got to a place now, Steve, where I no longer have to please man. I no longer have to, you know, please people. I don't care what people think about me. I'm free to be me. And the freedom to be free in my anointing and calling has taken me to a new dimension, because I went through a bit of a stage in my ministry where everything looked very compromised, or there was a new trend coming into the ministry world. And I tried to be a part of that first. And it wasn't me. And then I realized, you know what? I need to be true to me. I need to be true to what God is placed in my life. So today, what I do witness of God's power. And in Italy, what was very moving for me this year was to see the Catholic priest come to me for prayer. And I stood with my husband, Martin, and I was praying for people. This Catholic priest stood there, quite stunned. And he said, I've been listening to the morning teaching here. And he said, I've come for prayer. And I said, would you like to pray for us? He said, no, I've come to have prayer from you, Shanine. I heard about you and I've heard about you across Italy, and could you lay hands on me? So as I laid hands on this Catholic priest, I would say he was in his late 30s, and I laid hands and he was touched by the power of God, and he had a fresh encounter, slain in the spirit. And as he was slain, you know, Steve, you know, you could see it was so genuine and authentic. And I think people are looking for that encounter of the authentic power of God again, because we've seen so much in the past. And he was slain for a while. I don't like to call it slain. I'd rather call it flawed, because slain sounds so strange. And then he got up, and I had a prophetic word for him, which was confirmation of what he was praying for. And he said, I've just been so touched. And he was quite drunk in the spirit. So that was very moving. And then when I spoke in Naples, which we had about 4,500 people gathered from across the nation, that morning was very powerful. I spoke about the breaking the chain and the bondage among the women in Italy, because they're very suppressed in leadership and very suppressed as a culture. And I prayed and for a release and prophesied that there will be a great move of God amongst the women in Italy. And there has been such an awakening amongst the leadership business women. I'm speaking to a very prestigious library book publishers in Turin in March amongst very influential women who've invited me to come and share my story and empower them to step out of their comfort zones and forget the past and live their dream, which is very exciting for me.
Well, this is very encouraging. You know, you have such an interesting story, and there are so many times when you were discouraged or could have been discouraged and when you quit, and you have defied all of the odds. You've had such an interesting life, an interesting ministry. And even as you were talking about your life there in London and ministering in Europe, I couldn't think how much our lives have intertwined in some ways, because Steve Hill was a very good friend of mine. I published several of his books. I literally knew him from the 1980s when he was a missionary to Argentina. And then later on, he was used so powerfully in what we call the Brownsville Revival, and really up until the time of his untimely death. And Catherine Coleman, I was one of the last people to interview her before she went to heaven. I covered her for the secular newspaper that I was working for at the time. And it was very interesting to interview her up close. And then, of course, I did a story in one of the very, very early issues of Charisma. She was a great woman, and she accomplished great things, and God is sort of doing it again. And I just so admire the way that you travel and minister and the crowds that are coming. And as we kind of wrap up this podcast, I'm just curious, why do you think things are different now? Because at least from this side of the pond, you know, we just feel that Europe is so post-Christian and not much interest, but something seems to be happening. We hear different reports. In fact, a British friend of mine who now lives in the United States, just in casual conversation, was talking to me about your ministry in Italy, apparently not really realizing that I was familiar with it, and had told your husband, Martin, that I actually wanted to do a podcast. So as we wrap up, just tell me why you think things are different and where do you think things are going?
I think things are different. One, I think the crisis of Europe right now is very fragmented, as we are fragmented in England right now. And we're a very divided nation. Obviously, we've had the elections. But why now? I think that because of the crisis, people are just fed up of the phony Christianity. And I think they've come to the point that we need to go back to the roots of Christianity. So they're looking out for this authentic encounter with God. And I really, truly believe it's purely to do with the crisis that's taking place right now. And prophetically speaking, I do really know and believe that we are entering back into a third awakening of the healing ministry coming back to surface, because one thing we're lacking in our churches today is people being healed. I mean, you often hear, Steve, you know, I'm sick and I'm going to stay home, not going to church. I grew up with people when they were sick, they went to church and the elders of the church anointed them with oil. So I believe we're entering now into a great healing revival across the nations. Particularly in Europe, there is just a hunger. It's a very dark place right now. Yes, it's politically correct. We're a very diverse group, a bunch of people. I mean, in London alone, we've got over 9 million people, 300 languages. And the diversity has also caused a hunger of going back to what we are, a Christian nation. And we need to preach revival, I think. And as we preach revival, going back to the uncompromised gospel, we'll see it again. And I love what Paul said. He said it was because of the law, you know, I was saved, and people need to recognize the law once again, because we've lost the law along the way, and the law actually kept Paul and brought him to conversion. We see that in Romans 7:7. So I think as a church again arises and deals with sin, I think that's the key, and recognizes that, we will see a great change in Europe. But I'm excited because I've been in Norway and I've seen the same hunger there, but not like Italy. It's very different. The crisis has caused this. And Romans 7 is beautiful, Steve, if I may. It just says, what shall we say then? Is the law sinful? Certainly not. Nevertheless, I would not have known what sin was had it had not been for the law. For I would not have known what converting really was if the law had not said, you shall convert. So I think once a church again gets back to the root of preaching the law and about sin, we'll have a spiritual cleansing. And a clean out, basically, and we will see a great move of God, and then I'm sure the awakening will start. And I really do appreciate you, Steve, for having me on the program, and you have been such a great friend, and you've really impacted my husband's life, and I'm so honored and privileged to share what God is doing in Italy and in Europe. And I believe that we're going to have more to share in the coming year, 2020. So thank you for having me on your show.
If you're interested in Shanine's ministry, you can hear other podcasts that I've recorded, both with her and her husband, Martin Clark. Just go to the Charisma Podcast Network and search for her name, or you can search for her on the internet, Shanine Clark, with an E at the end, and you can find out more about her amazing ministry. I have so appreciated Martin and Shanine and getting to know them as friends. They have been a big help to me, especially in 2016 when we were privileged to present a copy of the Modern English Version to Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth. And that's kind of how I got to know them. And we have interacted in so many ways. And it was my honor today to have Shanine Clark as a guest by telephone from London on the Strang Report on the Charisma Podcast Network. Thank you for listening. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, it's The Strang Report on charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.